in the fifth chapter of Galatians. And what we've said through this process and in the studies that we've done previously, that this study is about transformation. That God is transforming us into the image that He created. We're all created in His image. But now He is growing us and maturing us by these, by the fruit of the Spirit. It takes root. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to His Son through Bible study, prayer, sharing, giving, the closer we, or the more we think like Him and live like Him, the more this fruit takes root and it matures and it grows. We talked about love and joy, peace, patience. I mean, these characteristic traits come directly from God when we are devoted to Him, when we are committed to Him, when we're following His example. Our children are studying the same topics each week. Our students are studying the same topics each week. We just wanted to take this summer in the middle of COVID-19 to focus on what it means to truly think like Jesus and live like Jesus. Last week we talked about patience. Today we're talking about kindness. Pray with me. Father, please open up our hearts, our minds to Your truth. Speak to us directly, individually, on what we need, and speak to us as a church. We love You, Father. Thank You so much for Your word of life. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if patience is a tough fruit, kindness should be an easier one. It's interesting that Paul puts kindness right after patience. Perhaps because he saw both of them as byproducts of love, which is the first spiritual fruit. Now, you probably heard these words in a wedding at some point in time. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. When we love people, we find it easier to have patience with them. And being kind to others is one of the most noticeable characteristics of a loving person. So what are we talking about when we speak of kindness? Let's give it a thought here. The essence of kindness is being thoughtful of others more than ourselves in any given situation. Thoughtful of others more than ourselves. So to be kind means you want to help others. You want to encourage. You want to comfort them. You want to do something that serves them or benefits them. I saw a video on Twitter about an 8-year-old boy who was driving down the road with his mom, and he yells at her, "Stop, stop, pull over." And this is what he did. He hopped out of the car to help this elderly woman up the steps with her walker. And that's his reward. It's kindness. Putting the needs of others above ourselves. Kindness is very close to what Jesus meant when he said, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Kindness can be as simple as a caring smile or a pleasant greeting. But more importantly, kindness means to be willing to do something or take some action to help someone, even if it's inconvenient. When we are willing to use some of our precious time to help others out of some difficult or confusing situation, we're being kind. This mural offers one thought on our subject, that kindness is free. And that's true. But it's not always accurate. think of it this way. Kindness goes beyond duty. It means doing something you don't have to do, but you choose to do. Kindness goes beyond reward. It means doing something you won't get paid to do. That means kindness isn't free all the time. Many times it costs us money, inconvenience, time. And you know what? That's okay. Because we don't expect a reward. You're kind for your own sake and for the sake of others. There was a research, scientific research report that just came out last week. And it says kindness makes us feel better and healthier. That's great. But we don't do it for that reason. We're kind because it's the right thing to do. In the Bible, kindness is often linked with generosity. In fact, the word the Apostle Paul uses more often than not possesses this sense of generosity. It means we're willing to give up something for the sake of someone else. That's biblical kindness. As a church family, we've been focusing on that. We just donated $5,000 to help pay for the utility bills for individuals who fell behind in their payments, many of them due to what COVID-19 has done to our economy. And we did this at Christmas before with people, but during COVID, it's been tough. So we thought this is something that we need to do for the Lord and for others. Brandon mentioned that we're having a barbecue lunch for members of our sheriff's department and police department. And he mentioned we do still need volunteers for that. And if you can't be there that day, would you be willing to cook a dessert? Make a dessert and drop it off early on Friday or write notes. We want people to write notes so we can put notes all around the tables and in each lunch that just say, hey, thanks for what you're doing. Thank you. We appreciate you. We're also helping our adoptive school, Franklin Elementary School, get their grounds ready for the school opening next month. And we hope school opens next month. And those of you who have small children are praying school opens next month. I know. And we're going to help them get their grounds ready. And we need volunteers for that. Grace Works, we were doing a food drive for them. We did one earlier in the year. And then Grace Works, we wanted to do another one. And Grace Works said, can you wait till July? Because that's a bad month for us. And we would really need the supplies. And so we're doing one the end of this month as well as a blood drive for the Red Cross. One of our members is helping our church family get involved with a ministry to help the homeless in Williamson County. And you can be involved in that as well. All the information's on our website, or you can ask Adam Grant, and he will take care of you. We're able to meet our expenses and still help those in our community because you're generous with your offerings, and you're generous with your time, and you're generous with your talents. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Because we want to be like Jesus. You know, we often say when we're on the receiving end of an act of kindness or generosity, well, thank you, you're very kind. We don't just say, hey, that's a kind thing to do, because we recognize that people who do these actions, people who help others, they're kind people. I mean, think about it. In your own mind, think of people that you would describe as very kind persons in your circle. And I hope it would take you some time to make that list. But unfortunately for some people, it's a short list. Because they know people who are out for themselves and not for others. To understand this kindness, we know what it is. But why is it so important? We say, well, it's the right thing to do, but why is that? Well, let's look to see how important it is to God. Let's see how important it is in his mind for his children. You know, I had a high school teacher who thought there were two gods. Believe this. Taught it. That there were two gods. A God of the Old Testament, a God in the New Testament. God of vengeance and war and a God of love. And somewhere along the line, the God of love kicked out the God of war and took his place. And I don't know where she got her theology, but that was what she assumed happened. And yet, if you read through the Old Testament, especially in the book of Psalms, God is praised for his kindness. There's a beautiful word in Hebrew. It's this word right here. It's called hesed. It's beautiful word. Right there. Right there. It's called hesed. Hesed is translated in many different ways. And maybe the most famous is the last verse of the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So goodness and mercy, what he was trying to describe about God, it took more than just one word. He had to have two words, goodness and mercy. And David, in the 23rd Psalm, was thinking about, of course, God as the good shepherd, that God cares for his sheep. That he looks after us, that he provides for us, that he protects us. And that's seen many years later in the example of Jesus Christ going to the cross, dying for our sins so that one day we could go to heaven. He shepherds us. He looks after us. He takes care of us. God is the example of goodness and mercy and kindness. The first song we sang today, it's entitled Forever. Some of the lyrics are from Psalm 136, and it takes and repeats the Hebrew word hesed several times in this phrase. His love endures forever. Still another way that this word is translated. It's a trustworthy love. We can always count on God. And since that is what God is like, then those who claim to know God, those who claim to worship God, those who claim to be a part of God's family, are to be the ones that major in kindness. That the closer we get to God, the closer we realize his character, then we grow in this fruit. Our kindness grows. We start seeing people the way God sees people. And Jesus epitomized that love of God when he walked on the face of the earth. I mean, so many things that Jesus did and said in the Gospels, if you go back and read, it happened because someone interrupted him while he was eating or visiting or teaching or on a journey. Someone interrupted him. And yet Jesus responds to these interruptions not with irritation and not with dismissal, but with kindness and love. And in many cases, he showed this kindness to people whom society typically rejected and shunned. Think of the woman with the bleeding condition interrupting him on his way to a medical emergency to heal someone. And he stopped and he took care of her. Think of the parents who brought their children to see Jesus and the apostles saying, Jesus doesn't deal with kids. It's too unimportant. He's dealing with us adults right now and taking care of us right now. And yet Jesus said, no, bring them to me. Think of blind Bartimaeus who kept shouting over the crowd until Jesus stopped his procession. Or the Syrophoenician who wouldn't take no for an answer. Or the woman who anointed his feet at a meal and scandalized the host. Even as he neared death on the cross, he sought to meet the needs, the physical needs, the emotional needs of his mother. And he put Mary under the care of the Apostle John. All of these examples about the kindness of Jesus, it's not just because he was a nice man. Because Jesus could get angry sometimes, this righteous anger towards these pious religious leaders and the hypocrites. But to the poor, the sick, the marginalized people that everybody pushed aside, to such individuals, Jesus showed extraordinary kindness. And gave precious time and attention to their needs. He crossed barriers. He broke down social taboos to show this kindness. by eating and being with these individuals who polite society despised. And that's what he's done for us. So if being a disciple means that we are to follow his example, why do we often fail to take the opportunity to be kind to others? I mean, the easy answer is that we are so busy. We just don't have time to get involved. We don't do any harm. Absolutely not. We wouldn't harm anybody, but there is a kindness that we could have done, but we didn't. An opportunity to bless someone else, and we just didn't do it. I had an individual in a church years ago say to me, "Well, Jesus wasn't as busy as I am." I go, "Seriously? I mean, you really want to say that?" And I moved away from him. I thought lightning was going to strike any time. I said, Jesus had just 3 years to prepare his apostles to birth the church that would bring salvation to the world, because Jesus died for everyone. 3 years. Can you do your life's work in 3 years? And that's all Jesus had. And yet, he still took the time to show kindness to others, to bless others. He poured into his apostles, but he made sure no one was neglected. Does kindness come easy for you? Remember when you were putting the list together of very kind people in your life just a while ago mentally? Do you think anybody in your life added your name to their list? Would you be on their, hopefully long list, but even a short list that, hey, they are so kind? Some people, it seems like they were born that way. And maybe it's their background, maybe it's their personality. But keep in mind, this part of the fruit of the Spirit doesn't always come naturally, because it's spiritual fruit. There's a lot of kind people in the world. We can come up with names all day. But this is a step beyond that. Paul is talking about something that isn't natural, that is spiritual. The closer you grow to God through His Word and through His Son, the closer you get to know Him through serving and sharing and giving, the more this fruit's going to grow. And you'll start doing it without even thinking about it. It becomes a part of your spiritual DNA. Now, how do you know it does? I mean, some of you are saying, well, would I be on someone's list? Am I a kind person? When it becomes more natural to say and do what is kind than ignoring those opportunities, then this spiritual fruit has taken root. When you don't have to stop and think about it, when you consider, when you refuse to consider excuses as to why I'm not going to do this, that's when this fruit is there and it's maturing and it's growing. How could I, as a disciple of Christ, not help the person that I see right now? Whether they're on the side of the road or they're homeless or they're holding up a sign that says, I'm hungry. How could I, as a Christian, be unkind to anybody? People I work for, people who work for me. I mean, these questions should propel us to ask the Lord for forgiveness and grace sometimes, because we all fail at this. You know this. I fail miserably sometimes when I don't take the opportunities. I've told some of you this story before, and it's a humbling story. It's one that I learned a big lesson from God. But I was getting ready to board an airplane. I was flying down to Florida. I was speaking at a conference down there, and I was tired. So this is how I prepared for my trip. I had my earbuds in so that I could listen to music and not have to hear anything else. I had my hat on, pulled down as low as I could, and sunglasses on in the airport. And I was reading a book. And I'm standing in line with about 100 people. We're waiting for our group to be called. And I am like this. Now, what about me says, come talk to me. I really want to help you. I really want to get to know you. Nothing. Nothing. This says, leave me alone. I do not want to engage with anybody. So I'm sitting here or standing here. I'm doing this. And I feel a tug at my sleeve. And I turn and there's an elderly little woman looking at me and smiling. And I'm looking around saying, there's 100 people here in line. Why did she choose me? So I closed my book. I took my earbuds out. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can you tell me if this plane goes to Orlando? And I look at her ticket. And I say, well, yes, ma'am, it does. And that was a mistake because she saw that as an opportunity to engage in conversation. And she started telling me her entire life story. And it was a long life story because she's 94 years old. I know this because she told me. And the names of her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And she is flying to her church, her home church, where she used to live down in Florida, because it's the 100th anniversary of her church, and she is the oldest living member. She was baptized at 6 years old, she told me, and she's been a member of that church ever since. So we're standing there, and she's telling me all the story, and then the line starts shuffling towards the place where we go down the tunnel and the ramp. And we get there and I help her with the scan. And then she says, can I take your arm as we go down this tunnel? Because I'm afraid I might fall. I said, yes, ma'am. So we're walking down. Now, there's no music going on. There's no book going on. There's nothing going on now. And she's just talking the whole time as we go down the ramp, as we get on the airplane. And she sits, and I find her seat. She's fine. And I start going back to mine, and she grabs me. And she said, I was scared to fly today. I was afraid I would fall down or I would get lost. And so I just prayed this morning. I said, God, please put a kind person into my life who will help me today. And I was so humbled. And I did not get kindness stars in my crown because I didn't want to do it. I tried to avoid it. And yet God pressed her my way. And I learned a lesson that day. And now I remind myself when I get up in the morning, getting ready, and I just have this time of prayer with God, and I mention if there's anybody that I'm supposed to be kind to. If there's an opportunity where you want me to help someone like I did this individual that you sent to me long ago, you put them there, and I'll do my best to answer. Their prayer or your command, I will do that. And so I start the day, and I will ask myself, who can I help today? Who can I thank today? Who can I smile at or encourage or open a door or buy a meal? Who can I just sit and listen to? And Paul tells us how we can do this. And I want to close with this. He offers two perspectives in the book of Colossians, same chapter. First, he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So whatever you do, that means everything you do. Whatever is everything. Everything you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Now, usually we look at this and we say, okay, that means we give thanks and praise to the Lord. Yes, that does. But it also means if I were Jesus, what would I do for this person right over here that looks like they need something? If I were Jesus, how can I help this individual here? How can I be kind to them? Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's just, how are you doing? Maybe it's something going on in their life. So if I were Jesus, what does that mean? What would I do for people if I were Christ? Colossians 3:23. Here's the second perspective. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now, usually we apply this to people who work and say, you know, you may have a lousy boss or someone you don't like there, but you work for them like you're working for God. You don't complain. You do your work, you do your best, you still give 100%. And that's how we often frame this verse. And that's true. But here, what if it means this? Whatever I am doing for the other person, I'm doing for Christ. So it's no longer I look at myself and say, if I were Christ, what would I do for them? Now I'm saying, if they were Christ, if this person here was Jesus, what would I do for them? What would I do for that individual if I knew that was Jesus Christ? So the two questions we ask ourselves, what would I do if I were Christ? And what would I do for people if they were Christ? You do those two things, and you will seize these moments of opportunity of kindness. Surely, goodness and mercy can be ours. And then we can share. And God gets the glory and the praise. I want to close us with prayer this morning. And I want to challenge you to ask yourself these two questions this week. And to ask God to give you an opportunity to do something kind for someone every day. And the more you change your mindset, the more you see what Jesus did for people, the closer you get to Him, the more you won't need to ask yourself those questions. You still can. But you're going to do it automatically. You're going to do it when you see the opportunity arise, when you see the need in someone. And that's what it means to possess and mature in this fruit of the Spirit, kindness. If you have questions before you leave, our staff is around. If you're just wondering what's going on with our church and all the things that we are doing for others, as I mentioned earlier, and you want to help, let us know. And Adam's on the back row. He'll be out in the foyer. But the rest of the staff, we're here for you. Would you stand and let me pray for you as we leave this place? Father, it's just a strange time. None of us have been through anything like COVID-19. None of us have experienced sometimes isolation. Sometimes just difficulty coping. And Father, if there's anybody in this room right now who just needs an extra bit of encouragement, a smile, a good morning, how you feeling, how you doing, please let us see that person right now as we leave this place and say something that you give us the words to say. Thank you so much for Jesus. May we follow His example. May we think like Him and live like Him. In Christ's name, amen. I love you guys. You have a great week.